In the light of Independence Day, we're going to take a break from Joel and turn to Genesis chapter 11 and verses 1 to 9. Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as I said, this weekend we celebrated Independence Day. And the question is, what exactly do we celebrate? I mean, what do our thoughts revolve around on this day? Do we celebrate who we are as a people? Do we think that we are more superior than the other peoples of the world? Or do we celebrate the principles for which we stand? I trust that we all agree that it's the principles upon which this nation was founded, principles that we seek to defend as they are stated, that all men are created equal. I mean, that should stop us thinking that we are the most superior nation of the world. I mean, that undercuts that proud boast. Because our very principles tell us that isn't the case. That isn't the case. All men are created equal. All have inalienable God-given rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nowhere do our founding documents hint at the claim that Americans as a people are superior to the other nationalities of the world. In fact, the very founding fathers, one of the basic principles that drove and shaped the founding documents was exactly a truth that goes against that claim. They believed that the human nature was depraved. They believed they were depraved. They believed that we need to keep power out of the hands of a few because that power is going to be abused. So much of the founding principles are based on the idea that man is sinful and depraved and needs to be controlled. Even the politicians. One might say, especially the politicians. And so when it came to the government, they divided the powers. They didn't want the president to act like a dictator or a king. And neither did they want the government in terms of Congress to do so either. Neither did they want the judiciary to do it. And we know that all three of those are at times battling against one another. And it's this balance of power that keeps people from utilizing any one of those for their own gains. And you know as well as I do, that battle goes on all the time. They fight to who's going to be the president. They fight who they're going to gain Congress so that they can get control of both houses. And they fight for the people that are going to be put on the Supreme Court. Because exactly for that. But until such a day as one group has control of the Supreme Court and has control of the presidency and has control of the Congress and the Senate, then we're going to have to be really worried. But at this point, we don't have that. Divisions, yes. Tensions, yes. But not power in one group of people. And besides, why would we celebrate ourselves as a people better than anyone else? How in the world can we say that? Knowing the struggles that we've come through. Knowing the fact that we thought certain people were subhuman. Whether they were the native Indians or whether they were the blacks from Africa, that they were subhuman, they couldn't take care of themselves, they couldn't organize anything, and we have to do it. We have to do it for them. And so when they had a vote, it didn't count the same as those that were white. How in the world then can we think that we are superior people when we did that? How in the world can we think that we are a superior nation from the other nations of the world when we have aborted over 20 million unborn? Over 20 million. It's probably more like 30 million from 1973 up until now. It's been nearly a million a year. A million a year. Some people are hopeful because in the last couple of years, it went down. You know what it went down to? 700,000. It went down from 900,000 to 700,000. And they were optimistic. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had killed 20 million Native Americans or African Americans, what uproar we would have as a nation? But that's exactly what we've done to the unborn. How in the world can we think that we are superior people if, as you heard from the news maybe this week, I mean, it was the most embarrassing thing. You know, we try to have a constitutional amendment to define marriage between one man and one woman. You know what country has just done that? Russia. Russia. And you know what the embassies of the Western countries did in response? They flew, not their flags, they flew the gay pride flags in Moscow in opposition to what the Russians have done. Can anybody imagine that we would think the Russians would make that amendment and the Western countries would mock? No, absolutely not. The founding fathers were right. We are of a depraved mind. And for that reason, that we have these principles to curtail that, to restrain evil. And that's why we celebrate our nation, not because we are superior than others, but we have principles that protect freedoms. And we have tried to learn from that. And yes, we've made terrible mistakes, but what country in the world, in the history of the world, what country has gone through a civil war over slaves? Can you imagine Egypt going to a civil war about how they were dealing with the Jews? They would never have done that. So for all the people that criticize, this country did go through agony over that. And they did set the slaves free. And they are able to live in this country freely. They are able to become the president of the United States of America and many other positions. So yes, we are an imperfect union, as they say. But we do strive forward, and we pray that God would strengthen us for that. It is challenged, but we look to God to give us the strength that we need. And so I thought it would be helpful for us to see the value of nations. Not only do we celebrate that we are a nation, that we want to promote other nations to be sovereign. Why? Because it's a way of restraining evil. The situation that we have in Genesis 11 is that the flood has already taken place. So there was already a threat. The church was threatened. There was only Noah and his family left. And yet, the voice of the church was not silenced. He preached. He preached righteousness. He warned the people year after year after year after year. But they wouldn't listen. They mocked him. And so judgment came. And the whole world was deluged and destroyed. And Noah and his family, his three sons and their wives, were saved, as well as the animals. And they repopulated the earth. But it wasn't that far afterwards that we have this situation. And so what do they do? Well, they've multiplied. And so they say, you know, we multiplied and, you know, we're not going to live in the same place, obviously. The more the people, the wider they begin to spread. And so they didn't think that was a good idea, this spreading. It would somehow weaken them. So they said, well, let's build a big city and then let's build a big tower that reaches up to the heavens. I mean, if ever we wanted to call a city the city of man, here it is. I mean, Augustine knew about the city of man, but that was a different, right? A city that men were in charge of and men gloried in other words, themselves. Well, that's what they were doing. And they had one language. And it seems they had one mind. And that's what they were going to do. And God looked at that. And he didn't say, oh, great, they're never going to need United Nations. They're already united. Everything's going to go wonderful now. They'll have no problems at all. He didn't think that way. He thought it was a terrible idea. A terrible idea. And God is talking in the Trinitarian Council. And he's saying, look what they're doing. I mean, they've just started, and look where their thoughts have gone to. There's going to be no end. And so let's go down. Let's divide their languages. As I said, we already saw what happened earlier. The whole world had grown to the point of opposing God and opposing his church. I mean, the church was almost dried out. And so God intervenes. Otherwise, his purposes would have been destroyed. And so God intervenes. And he did. Saved his people. But his people, in a very short time, went down the same path. And so God goes down and he said, let's divide their languages. So now they're not going to speak the same language. Now they're not going to be able to cooperate. They're not going to be able to infect one another. They're not going to be able to encourage one another towards sinful activities and ungodly ways. They're not going to be able to build this city and this tower. And so God comes down and he divides these languages, and we're told that they couldn't understand one another. They lost that unity that they had. And so their wicked nature was restrained in the things that they were going to do. Whereas before it was magnified because they all spoke the same and they understood each other and they had the same direction. So much for the global village that we hear about. That's the way the people want it these days. The whole world should be one. And we should tear down all kind of borders. We should all live together as one. They don't really understand what it is they're asking for. In God's word, that isn't a good direction to go. You might think, well, don't we want unity? Well, yes, we want unity. Unity in one faith, in one Lord, in one God, in one baptism. That's where the unity lies. But not in the world. Has the United Nations made us a stronger world? The United Nations puts pressure on other nations to conform to the things that they want. Now, when we're united and we act together, and power congregates, it becomes a danger. Look at the digital world, the computers and everything else that we have, that are able to reach the nations of the world. They're able to overcome all these borders everywhere. What have they done? Have they made a world a better place? Have movies made the world a better place? Has the internet and the ability that we have made the world a better place? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there are no advantages to those things. We're using those things this morning so that people can hear the services this morning. So I'm not saying that there's no good things that happen, but much wickedness comes along with it as well. And so they've misused that power as they have done. And we see that in our own nation. We see that. Internet providers, whether we look at Google, whether we look at Facebook or whatever, they wield a lot of power. They dictate what you can put up and what you can't put up. And they put up their own things that they want you to hear. You hear it every day. Where power is in their hands, the temptation is to use it for what they think is good. But that good is only their own perceptions. And so God divides the nations to slow down that progress, that influence, that power. And in each group of people, national groupings, God has put governments. I mean, that's what Romans 13 is all about, isn't it? God has put in leaders. Even though those leaders may be ungodly, nevertheless he puts leaders there because the alternative is chaos. And so we have other nations of the world where we have leaders and they're given the right to use the sword to restrain evil. Now, yes, there are many nations where they use the sword to oppress people and to get rich themselves and they get drunk on power. That is true. That nevertheless, God's intentions were to restrain evil. Just because some abuse their power doesn't mean the institution of government is wrong. That would be like saying somebody abused his wife, so we're going to throw marriage out. No. No, God's intentions are good for the nations. And so he made all of these nations and he ordained power in the leaders. No, we need strong nations of the world to put a restraint on other nations that want to oppress the smaller nations or the weaker nations. I mean, that's what we do as Americans, isn't it? And it's a good thing. And we defend nations. We defend Israel. Who would stand up for Israel? We defend South Korea. We defend Japan. We defend Philippines. We defend the countries in that region from China. We defend Europe. We defend all the countries surrounding Russia. Why do we do that? Why do we spend all of those millions and millions? Because we have these principles that we hold so dearly. That we want freedom for others. And much blood and life has been given for that reason. No, we're not a perfect people. That's clear. Clear to us every day. But nevertheless, we celebrate our nation because it stands for these principles of freedom. It also restrains religious persecution. Religious persecution. As I said, Genesis 6, 1-8 shows that the world was fast absorbing God's covenant people, or threatening, I should say. Threatening God's people. The sons of God, the covenant people, saw the daughters of men, unbelievers, and began marrying them, thereby weakening the covenant. I mean, if we can't fight them, we infiltrate them. That's what Balaam said. He couldn't curse the people because God wouldn't allow it. And so what did they do? They encouraged that they would marry, intermarry, and thereby weaken God's people. And that has been happening. In fact, God took the drastic step, as I said, of destroying the world and saving Noah and his family so that the glorious gospel and God's purposes may continue. We're told about those marriages, by the way, that they brought forth mighty men. One assumes who only furthered the weakening of the covenant people. And so God lamented this wickedness, this continual evil of men that undermined and threatened his people. And so he took that drastic step of destroying the world. One cannot minimize the threat that the world is to God's people. The church needs to be aware of it, and we need to be separate from the world. We're to live in the world, obviously, we have to be light and salt, but we can't be one with them. We can't intermarry with them. If one is tempted to put their trust and hope on a world run by covenant people, by the way, think again. What I've said about power and being it being in one or two or a group of people's hands, that it's always dangerous, then it also applies to the church. If the church thinks that they can take over the world and the world would be a better place, think again. Think again. We still have a nature that is attacked by sin and led by sin. We have to put to death the deeds of the sin. You think we would not abuse power if we had it? Absolutely we would. As I say to people sometimes that have this notion, I say, look, we had a country that all the leaders were covenant people, all the people, citizens, were covenant people. It didn't go very well with them, did it, in Israel? Was it a model nation? Well, yes, in terms of principle, but was it a modern nation in terms of the way that they engaged inside the nation? No. And we should know that in Bible study because we've been looking at the kings and the terrible things that they did, and eventually they were exiled. Can't blame that on the other nations of the world, could they? No. We're not to be entrusted with that power. We don't want to take over the world. As a nation, that is. No, God will do that, thank you very much, through his kingdom, through his church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should present no threat to the civil government. We're not at war with them. We don't want the kings to come and bow to us in terms of the Catholic Church did with the popes. No. No, we have no desire to do that. And so as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no desire that we have all the churches become one church. I mean, some people have that idea. All the churches should be one institution. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? I mean, is a Catholic church something you admire and you think it's a good thing for them to be one, institutionally one? You don't think that power is going to be misused? Of course it is. It's a good thing when power is diffused and a lot of other people have it. It's good that we have different denominations so that if one goes down the tubes, the others can stand firm and say, this is not right and we're not going to do it, and call them to account. Now we celebrate these principles as a nation. And even though we struggle ourselves, nevertheless, we promote that. And what does all this do? It grants us the freedom to exercise our religion and to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have the freedom. Not that we need it, by the way. I mean, I've said this often enough. We don't need the government. We don't need anyone protecting us. We have a Lord in heaven. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He will take care of us. That's the way that Paul said about the Philippians, you know. He said, I really, really appreciate the fact that you sent me a gift, but not that I needed it. Don't think that my God is not taking care of me. He is. But I'm truly thankful that out of your hearts came this love and concern for me, that you sent me this gift. And it's wonderful that I receive it. So I say the same thing without, in terms of our freedom. I'm thankful that we have freedoms in this country to worship God freely and to send missionaries to the other countries of the world and preach the gospel and call them to repentance and faith. But don't ever think that we're saying that that's the only way that it can happen. That if we didn't have the government's blessing, we could not do anything. Because there are nations where the church has no backing from the government. And they're actively persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those churches, at times, put us to shame. They put us to shame. Because they stand up under all that pressure and they continue to preach the gospel. And people continue to be saved. And you think, why in the world would anyone believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would anyone surrounded by a nation that has a different religion and a negative attitude against Christianity and persecutes it, why would they become Christians? Doesn't that tell us how glorious the gospel is? How wonderful the gospel is that someone, when they're faced with it, embraces it and knows full well that they have a target on their back, even from their own family, that might want to put them to death, as has happened. But they embrace the gospel. So the question is the gospel that precious to us in the West? Would we be willing to make those sacrifices in the West? Well, be encouraged that they do. And so be encouraged that if ever there comes a time when the government turns against us and cuts our freedoms and oppresses us, then don't lose faith that the church is going to fold. It's not. Because God has shown his church continues to increase. That nevertheless, we don't go looking for trouble. We don't say, oh, we're going to move to a country that hates Christianity because that's the way to go. No, we do thank God for the freedoms that he's given us in this country. And we want to encourage that. We want the government to protect that. We want the government to resist curtailing the right of people to congregate and worship. And so we're thankful for these freedoms. And we pray that we might be agents for that in other countries. And so that's why we celebrate. That's why we want to protect our nation and not have it go down a negative path. Not because we are superior people, but because we want to restrain wickedness, so that they may hear the gospel, that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want that not only for our nation, we want it for the nations of the world. We want them to live in peace. We want them to live in prosperity. We want them to be live without threats. And so we do all that we can, and we do. And so we pray that the Lord would protect us and not weaken us, and we should not weaken ourselves. People of God, it is a glorious thing to celebrate. And it is something that we need to pray for, that God would protect us and preserve us so that we can be agents to restrain wickedness, and that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to preach the gospel and save those that are perishing. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful again for your concern for us. And our Father, concern when we don't even see it. Just like the people in Genesis 11, they didn't see anything was wrong. They thought that everything was going rosy, that they were on top of the world. And yet, they were heading in a terrible and a destructive path. And we're so thankful that you intervened and that you continue to intervene and you continue to restrain evil and those that take power into their hands for bad. And we're thankful for this nation, for all the sacrifices that it has made over the years and the decades to protect, to help, even at the loss of many lives, protect the freedom of nations. And so, Father, we pray that you would continue, as we know you will, so that your church may continue to bring the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, now we pray for this nation. We pray that you would make us a more perfect union, that you would help us to see the errors of our ways, some of which we have mentioned. Father in heaven, we pray that you would be forgiving and merciful and keep us strong. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.